Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Monday morning. Monday, May the 11th, 2026, 5:11:26, 15 and a half minutes past the hour. Glad to be with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody had a wonderful Mother's Day. The weather was not bad yesterday, did not rain. Kind of chilly for Mother's Day, but it could have been a lot worse. And, you know, I complained last week about all the pictures we see of all the mothers and so on and so forth. Actually, yesterday, I thought everybody did a nice job with that. I didn't see anything that was all that bad. I thought people celebrated their mothers. That was very, very nice. I hope you celebrated yours, or if you are a mother, you were celebrated, and everything went off without a hitch. I hope it was great. But I'll tell you something that I have noticed that I think is a little strange. Now, this might just be a me thing, but and I get what's going on behind this, but I don't get what's going on behind some of these, but I get that if you have a wife or a significant other, that they are the mother of your children. So I guess some people do celebrate them for Mother's Day. And you know, they put a big gushy post on social media, because that's what we do now. But what I don't understand is, if you don't have any kids with that particular person, when you celebrate them as your mother, and you know, you obviously have a biological mother, whether they're still here or not, that's kind of strange to me, because to me, I think that's just a point to go out I don't know what it is. See, I'm trying to figure out what it is. I'm not sure if you're trying to be, show that person that you care, because maybe you don't show them that you care at home, so you have to do it on social media. I'm not sure if you're trying to show the whole world that they're great. I really don't understand that, because if they're not the mother of your kids and they're not your mother, then why are you celebrating them on Mother's Day? Because they are a mother? Maybe I should just start celebrating all the great mothers that I know, because there are a lot of great mothers that I know, terrific mothers, as a matter of fact. So maybe I should just celebrate them. I don't know. It's a trend. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944 if you have anything to say. And again, I hope you had a wonderful Mother's Day, because it was a nice day. And it was a busy day out in the public. But I'll tell you, it started off on a bad note, not for me, but as I was going out yesterday morning, I was passing by one of the hotels in front of Meyer, and I noticed that there was an ambulance, a sheriff's cruiser, and a fire engine in front of the hotel. And I thought, what a bad start to Mother's Day this must be. So hopefully nothing terrible happened. I didn't hear that anything terrible happened, but hopefully it was not. Maybe somebody went a little too crazy at the Mother's Day buffet, as it were. In any event, as I say again, happy Mother's Day, belated Mother's Day to all the great mothers. Now, before we get on to talking about what's going on with the city, there's something I wanted to talk about that happened on this show on Friday night. Now, many of you may have heard that longtime legendary representative, former congressman Barney Frank, had recently entered hospice care at his home. Now, Barney Frank has been on this show several times over the years, and he's known for being the first openly gay congressman. He came out of the closet back in 1987, and he's always been entertaining. Some people love him, some people hate him, but he's always been entertaining, and he's always been very nice to me to come on the program. Now, I learned at the end of April that he had entered hospice care, and I guess we all know what that means, that life is not going to be around very much longer. So I want to call and thank him for coming on the program all the times that he did. And so I tried to call him Friday, probably maybe about 6 o'clock, 6:30, something like that. And it went to voicemail, and I figured, you know, he's probably busy or not feeling the greatest. So I just left a voicemail message, and that was pretty much it. So that was probably 6:30 on Friday evening. And we started to do the Friday night show. And I'm going to say somewhere about 8:40, 8:45 of the first hour of the Friday night show, I noticed that the phone rang, and Barney Frank's phone number came up. And I thought, well, I don't want to take this call on the air because I'm not sure what condition Congressman Frank is in. And, you know, maybe this is a private conversation and not one to have on the air. But I don't want to wait a long time to return the phone call because I had tried to call earlier in the day. And I did not get in touch with him. And him being in the condition he's in, hospice care, I did not want to wait too long. You know, God forbid something should happen. So, during the break at 9 o'clock on Friday night, I called the number back and got a hold of Representative Frank. And he sounded great. He sounded good. He sounded in good spirits. And I thanked him for coming on the show. And I said, well, would you ever want to come on the show for a few minutes? And he said, well, when would you want me on? I said, well, what about 5 minutes from now? And he said, well, how long would you want me? And I said, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. He said, I don't know how long I can do because I'm not feeling the greatest. But sure, let's do it. And he came on Friday night. Now, this is a man from hospice. What do you ask somebody who's in hospice care? I mean, it's a very interesting interview. We had about 5 minutes to prepare for it. It's only about 10 minutes long here, so this won't take very long. But I know there are two different audiences for the Friday night show and this particular show. So here is, from Friday night, legendary Representative Barney Frank, from hospice care at his home on the show on Friday night. Here it is. We are joined by a guest who I've had on this program many times. He's one of my favorite people, and we were saddened recently to learn that this gentleman had entered hospice care in April. He is historic, without question. He is the first openly gay congressman to ever serve in the House of Representatives. In 1987, he came out. He has set the bar high for everybody who has followed him. He has made the world a better place for so many people. Everybody knows who he is. He has been one of my favorite guests, and he is one of the best talkers you will ever want to find, even tonight, in the state that he is in. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones one of my favorite people, Representative Barney Frank. Representative Frank, how are you?
I'm doing very well, especially after that introduction. You remind me of a great humorist named James Thurber, who was once stopped by a woman who said, oh, Mr. Thurber, I just read your last book in French, and it was very funny. He said, I know, madam, I lose a lot in the original.
Well, Representative Frank, we all heard around here at the station that you had entered hospice care a couple weeks ago, and of course saddened to learn that. What can you tell us? What happened, and why have you entered hospice care?
Well, I inherited from my father a bad heart. He was otherwise a great parent. He died in 1960 at the age of 53 of the bad heart because there were no treatments in those days. In the interim, you know, one reason medicine is so much more expensive today is that we are buying a type of medical care that wasn't previously available. So with all that care and with other advantages, I've obviously lived long beyond the 53, but I never thought I would reach 90. I mean, I was told I had a weak heart. Frankly, it's less than organ I thought, but it is finally just given out. I mean, I'm not... there's no great stroke that happened. It just hit my my heart has finally worn out and sort of running to empty.
You know, Representative Frank, when people hear news like that, that the end is either imminent or near, it's a very scary time for people. How have you felt emotionally during this?
Well, better than I thought I would for a couple of reasons. First of all, I have a husband who has just been extraordinary. You know, obviously we've loved him and he's taken care of me and mutually, but he has put himself through hoops, taking care of me and making my life physically so much easier. Beyond that, my motivating goal in politics was to try to use public efforts to improve the quality of people's lives. But over the last 15 years, the obstacle to that emerged, exemplified by Donald Trump, which was this distrust of democracy, this angry, xenophobic populism. And trying to defeat that and reestablish support for liberal democracy has been my number one goal. And I felt frustrated at times by not being able to make more progress. And ironically, the best thing that ever happened to those efforts was this diagnosis, because I have been telling people on the left in my party why I think we should be more responsible, why they should withdraw from some of the extreme positions they've taken. And people were suspicious of that. Because, oh, well, he's just a secret conservative, or he's just planning for the future to raise more money. Well, I'm clearly not planning for any political future. And over my career, I was on the left. I voted against the Iraq War. I voted against NAFTA. So I can't be accused of urging people on the left to be more responsible politically on the grounds that I'm trying to curry favor. So as a result, frankly, this is an example, I'm getting a chance to make the point that is so important to me, and in a way I hadn't expected. That's kind of an offset. Yeah, I'm dying a little earlier than I had expected to, but that's become the occasion, frankly, for making progress on an important issue more than I thought I would.
Well, and it's very interesting because a lot of the headlines and programs that you have appeared on since this entering of hospice, it has said Barney Frank gives warning for Democrats. How do you like how that's being couched, and how do you feel in general about that?
Well, to be honest, there were two responses. The first is a very specific one. I've written a book that's going to be published on September 15th that's been titled by Yale University Press, The Hard Path to Unity, in which I explain what I think we should be doing, and so I frankly should sort of help my husband later on. I think the royalties have just bumped up, but beyond that, it gives me a satisfaction in terms of having accomplished this mission. I really do believe that defeating populism is the most important thing that can be done for the values I've fought to advance. And this turns out to be an unexpectedly strong boost for that. So, basically, I told people what I think we should be doing. And then the book I wrote explains why I think that's what we should be doing.
Representative Frank, if there are Democrats out there listening right now, what is the number one most important thing they need to know from Barney Frank as he gets ready to depart this world?
That if liberals, mainstream Democrats, continue to support economic fairness, which we hadn't for a long time, and advocate social and cultural change that meets real needs and fills real gaps in society, but does not reach the point of alienating people and does not take toxic positions, and insist that everybody endorse them, that we can defeat populism. That is, I think we're at a cusp here. And if we stop doing the wrong things and keep doing the right thing, we can defeat this, especially because Donald Trump is imploding. And I think it's very clear, you know, we had first underestimated Trump, then we overestimated him, and now we're back to an accurate estimate, which is, frankly, the man's a fool. He's not very bright, and he is so dominated by his ego that he acts in ways that are counterproductive. Excuse me.
No.
But what happened was, that's what we thought of him 20 years ago. Go back, people didn't take him seriously. And then he runs for president and shocks everybody by winning, at which point people said, oh, my God, this guy is more than we thought. He's not a fool. He's a political genius. And he wins power by exploiting this ability he has to take advantage of people's anger. But having won power, it turns out, no, we were right in the first place. He is kind of a fool. He doesn't know very much. He has won power. He's what's called an idiot savant. He's idiotic about everything except one thing. That one thing is the ability to soak resentment and benefit from that, and he wins the presidency based on that. But having won the presidency, you look at him today, and I think he's floundering. So put all that together, and it seems to me to be a moment when we can win a historic victory, and that's the most important thing.
Representative Frank, you've talked about having a book coming up, and you sound pretty good tonight, and it's always great to talk with you. Have the doctors given any indication on how long you are going to be with us? And we hope it's a long time.
No, they don't know. I don't, you know, I'm not looking for a date. They've seen it's wearing out. I mean, one of the cardiologists said to me, you know, there were four stages of convulsive heart disease. I said, which one am I on? He said five.
Mm.
So, that's as much as I know. I mean, I'm not planning to buy any Christmas gifts, but beyond that, I don't know how quick it'll be.
Representative Frank, obviously we started the interview out by saying the first openly gay congressman, 1987, people are always going to remember that. You're a trailblazer. What do you hope people most remember you for?
Well, I will tell you this. I hope people will remember that I'm smart enough not to answer that question. Because there's no good way to answer. It's like being asked, who do you like better, your mother or your father? I am going to have to wind down now. I'm sorry that I was a little late in this call.
No problem. Representative Frank, I have always enjoyed speaking with you, and you, I hope, you're one of my favorite people, and I hope the rest of your days are the best of your days.
Well, I appreciate that, and I look forward, I guess, to being one of your favorite memories.
You certainly will. Representative Frank, always good to talk with you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Representative Barney Frank.
And that was the interview with former longtime Congressman Representative Barney Frank from Friday evening, where he is currently residing in hospice care at his home. And it was an interesting interview, to be sure. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And, you know, I think much like in the case of Larry Barnett, it's amazing how people's attitudes can be so positive and upbeat in moments that have to be just catastrophic in people's lives. But, you know, Barney Frank, right up till the end, fighting for the causes that he believes in. And you got to say that's a nice thing. Again, whether you like him or you dislike him, you got to say he is absolutely fighting for the causes that he believes in. Now, I've got one more audio clip that I want to play this morning, because on Friday we learned, or Thursday I guess we learned, that our Attorney General Dave Yost will be resigning in June. And I was lucky enough to have John Kulowitz, who is the current Democratic nominee for Attorney General, on Friday morning to discuss this. Now, this interview goes about 5 minutes. This is John Kulowitz on this program on Friday morning talking about the resignation of current Attorney General Dave Yost. Again, Friday morning, this interview aired.
Certainly the big news yesterday was that Attorney General Dave Yost here in Ohio has announced that he will be resigning effective this June. What's going to happen? We all want to know. We're glad to invite for a five-minute visit this morning the man who on Tuesday got a big win in the Democratic primary for Attorney General, will be the candidate this coming fall, John Kulowich. John, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Mr. Spears.
John, what are your thoughts on Attorney General Yost announcing his resignation yesterday?
Well, it appears that he's following his true calling. I know the cultural war cases have been very important to him, and he'll certainly have a full menu of those at his new employment.
Do you think this was done as a political move 2 days after the election?
Well, it's curious to me that this comes on the heels 30 days after General Yost was the only statewide Republican official to join me in calling for an investigation of Jobs Ohio, and 2 days after I won the Ohio primary, all these moves are being made.
Do you think Attorney General Yost was pushed out in any way?
I don't know. I don't have any inside information about that, but the timing makes me curious about that.
You know, it's very interesting because Governor DeWine will have to make these appointments before June the 7th, and a lot of people this morning are speculating that everybody who won their primaries on Tuesday will just be slid into those positions, and Jay Edwards will be given the treasurer's spot, and we'll have incumbents this fall. Do you think Governor DeWine's likely to do that?
Public offices are not gifts to be given. They're responsibilities to be earned. We should be running for these offices and acceding to them by the vote of the people, not through some game of musical chairs that appears to treat these offices as something owned by certain people.
Do you think that's something Governor DeWine might do?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what's on Governor DeWine's mind. I do hope Governor DeWine will appoint somebody who takes at least as seriously as I do the need to protect public safety as Attorney General, and the need to do everything possible to make the economy of Ohio work better for everybody in Ohio. We are really up against it in Ohio economically. The people of Ohio need help, and the Attorney General is in a position to be a first line of defense against financial crime, financial wrongdoing. That's what I intend to do as Attorney General.
John, with about 2 minutes left here, what is the worst case scenario of Attorney General Yost resigning?
That the position would go unfilled. I mean, we need an Attorney General who's going to serve as chief officer of the state and who's going to devote himself or herself to that responsibility. You know, that position cannot go unfilled. There's too much riding on it. It's very important that it be filled and filled promptly.
You won your primary on Tuesday night in a big way. A lot of other people did as well. Alison Russo, a big winner on Tuesday night. How do you feel about the ticket as we go into the fall, the Democratic ticket?
I feel very good about it. The Democratic ticket is in a position to provide the people of Ohio what they're looking for in these troubled times. Things that are getting out of control in Ohio price-wise. We are there to help in every single way. As Attorney General, what I want to do is do everything I can to protect us from consumer fraud, from monopolistic pricing, from wage theft, from unlawful discrimination, from Medicare provider fraud, elder abuse, nursing home fraud, all these things that are costing us money. If people are acting wrongfully to us, I'm going to make them pay. We need to protect the people of Ohio and their pocketbooks and their paychecks.
And my final question here this morning, John, what is history going to say about Attorney General Yost when they look back on his career as Ohio Attorney General?
Well, I'm more of a lawyer than a pundit, so I'm not sure I'm in the best position to answer that. I think it will reflect upon him as somebody who followed his heart to the fight these culture war cases. In the next administration, when I'm Attorney General, I want to return the office to the people and fight for the people economically.
Do you think the reason he left is because he couldn't get the governor's nod?
I don't know about that. I mean, this appears to have been in the works for a while. The deal evidently was not done until 2 days after the primary when they saw who the Democratic nominee was going to be. So that's all I know.
So you think there might have been a deal in place, though?
Well, we've got to watch out for backroom deals here. This office is too important to be, it's becoming too politicized. It's a law office for all the people of Ohio. We need somebody in there who's a lawyer and not a politician.
John Kulowitz, the Democratic candidate for Attorney General, coming up this fall on the news that Dave Yost, our Attorney General, has turned in his resignation effective in June. John, I know you're busy. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, there's John Kulowitz, the Democratic candidate for Attorney General.
And we thank John Kulowitz for coming on Friday, the Democratic candidate for Attorney General, discussing the resignation of our current Attorney General, Dave Yost. Now, again, phone lines are open if you have anything to say in regard to John Kulowitz or Attorney General Dave Yost resigning, or the Barney Frank interview. Feel free to weigh in this morning, or Mother's Day, by the way. If there's something you'd like to say in regard to Mother's Day, feel free to give us a buzz. 40 minutes past the hour here on this Monday morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, we certainly get the news here on this station, don't we? We certainly get the news. Now, tonight there'll be a full city council meeting. 6:30, second floor, City Hall. And I think probably the most interesting thing at tonight's City Council meeting for a lot of people will be the fact that the new 4th Ward City Council person will be chosen by City Council. Now, this person does not have to be a Republican or a Democrat or an Independent. It can be anybody. Anybody can offer themselves as a candidate for this position tonight. It will be voted on by City Council. And I think a lot of people are wondering who this is going to be tonight. Because it would seem as if, for whatever reason, since this vacation was vacated by Twyla Lang back in February when she became the treasurer, that the Republicans have had a hard time filling this position. Now, you know, it was their choice. They could have put somebody in there, but that did not happen. So, who tonight will be the new 4th Ward City Councilman? Now, I did hear from a pretty substantial person last week who they thought it would be, and I thought it was an interesting name. Because I don't think it was a person who was very much one way or another for either one of the parties. I know Mrs. Halloran, who was up for it last time, I think has put her name in again. I don't know how that will go. I think people see her as a very Democratic candidate. I don't know who will show up tonight to put their name in the basket to be the new 4th Ward City Council person. And I think it's going to be interesting once we learn who these candidates are, how council will vote. You know, is one preferred more than the other? That's got to be a question that we have to ask ourselves. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. And I was also listening this morning and paying attention that there will be continuing discussion tonight about putting the measure on the ballot for November to extend city council terms to 4-year terms instead of 2-year terms. And, you know, I don't know. Council, it looks like city council will probably vote that out of council to go on to the ballot. But will the voters vote that up or down? I don't know if the voters will vote that up or down. I don't know if that's seen as something the city would want to do. Do you think the city wants city council people to have 4-year terms instead of 2-year terms? And again, it kind of comes back to the point, what has changed in which 2-year terms are no longer satisfactory? I think that's the big question overall. What has changed to cause an issue where 2-year terms are no longer satisfactory? And I don't know if the conversation will continue tonight about decorum at City Council. I don't know how that's going to go. I think we have another reading tonight about the land over across from Logan Tire, where they want to build the new Dollar General store. Now, there's a question there. Will that be expedited tonight? Will they try to suspend the rules on that annexation? I don't know. I'm not sure that they have the votes to do that, to be honest. I don't think Thad Smith is voting for that. I don't think Aaron Rollins is voting for that. I don't think Scott Kreider is voting for that. So I'm not sure if they'll have the votes. I'm not even sure that Rob Smith would vote for that. He was not there last time when that vote was taken. And also, the new 4th Ward City Council person, who I assume will be sworn in tonight before the meeting, after that choice is made, I would have to guess that they would have a vote. So again, it becomes all that more important who is going to be this new 4th Ward City Council person. And will that swing the vote one way or another? And will that push this deal out another 2 weeks for a third reading in front of City Council? So that's interesting. I think that'll be on the agenda tonight. And that might bring up some conversation or bring in some conversation. And again, if you've got anything to say about any of this, 46 minutes past the hour here on this Monday morning, feel free to weigh in. Beautiful, sunny Monday morning, 50 degrees, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to weigh in. I think it's fascinating, as always. I think these issues are of interest to a lot of people. And as we keep going on down the road, and we've also got to ask ourselves, how is the city doing? You know, the city's financial plan to the state auditor was turned in on April the 6th. Well, it is now May the 11th. And to my knowledge, nothing has been turned in regard to that. Nothing, no response from the state auditor. And what does that mean on the whole? Where is that all going? Again, we all have to wonder. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, that couple good interviews you played there, I guess.
Well, I'll tell you, they were both from Friday, and they were both kind of... it's interesting to interview somebody who's in hospice care.
Well, one thing I think was good about it is it wasn't very long. Normally, when you interview somebody, you do 45 minutes straight on them. And a lot of times I just end up going and watching, back to TV and watching something else because I'm really not that interested in that person as an interview. And then I got to listen to 45 minutes of it. You know, there's only 10 or 15 minutes or something, even if you ain't real crazy about listening to it. It ain't bad, you know, we're going to be going to something else here. I'll just stay here. But that's my feelings on that. Sometimes.
Well, no, I can appreciate that. And I'll tell you what happens sometimes with the length of an interview. A lot of times somebody will come on, and there is a portion of the interview that people really do want to hear. But a lot of times you have to give that person more time. You have to guarantee them more time, or they might not be willing to do the interview because people like to talk.
That's true, yeah. Especially if a politician might, want to make sure they have plenty of time to get their message out there, their word.
Right, and I also think a lot of times if it's a touchy subject, if you open up with that touchy subject, they feel that's all you're going to talk about, and they're not going to get a chance at all to say what they want to say, which I think is what normally happens. But with those interviews, that really wasn't necessary, because I think Mr. Kulowitz
was in a hurry on Friday, and he just wanted to give his thoughts on Dave Yost resigning. And I think Barney Frank, being in hospice care, is obviously not at the top of his game and could only talk for a certain period of time. So that's what happened there. But I wanted to replay those because you never know who's listening when. And I thought those were both functional interviews.
I heard you before say that Larry Barnett was going into hospice care.
Yes, yes, yeah.
What's the reason he's going in there? Is that heart, too, or cancer, or what?
Cancer. He was on, when was he on? A couple weeks ago. And, he was diagnosed, I think it was back in, March, with, stage 4 cancer, terminal, and...
What kind of cancer?
Well, he doesn't really know where it started. He just said the doctor told him it's in his, as Larry said, it's in his liver, it's in his blood, and it's in his bones, and Larry said, 3 strikes and you're out. So... Larry said that when he learned that, the doctor said he could give him a big dose of chemotherapy that would keep him alive a few months longer, but that's about all that would happen. So Larry said he was not going to go that route. And at this point, I guess the last time he had seen the doctor said he felt that he had about 6 months left.
And... is he in hospice care in a facility, or are they coming into his home?
Well, I don't think Larry's in hospice yet. When I saw him a couple weeks ago, he had not called them in. He had spoken to them because the doctor had said this might start to cause you some pain. But I don't think he's in hospice as of yet.
So he hasn't been feeling up to par, or what is that reason why he got these tests done?
You know, he really didn't say. I think he said he'd been feeling okay. I think he was just going in for something minor, and I think they happened to find it.
Well, sometimes you can do all the tests in the world, and they don't find it. You know, my dad went and did any test the doctor wanted to do, and they kept, you know, thinking it was his heart, and he goes into the hospital to have some test done, and that's when they, you know, said he had, you know, cancer, and, you know, he never left the hospital.
No, it's a scary, scary thing, and, but I have been so impressed with Barney Frank and his congestive heart failure, and Larry Barnett and his cancer, both talking about this in the last month publicly on the airwaves, and they don't seem to have a negative attitude about it. You know,
right,
this
it'd be hard to have a good attitude about it, you know.
Well, I think from listening to both of them, I think they understand. I mean, they'd like to be around longer, but this is life. This is what happens. I think they both understand they've led a good life. And, you know, no regrets at this point.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good way to look at it.
You know, I think you just have to look at it like that at some point. And they've been profound interviews. I give them both a lot of credit for wanting to speak out on it. I don't know that a lot of people would want to do that, but they both have, and I certainly appreciate it.
I mean, you know, I know myself, I get depressed and stuff because I don't get around very good, especially in the last 3 or 4 years. And even before that, I was able to get around, but not, you know, great. And, you know, sometimes you wonder why you. You know, you see people that are trash. And they'll live to a good old life and get around. They'll do everything they want. And you've always been limited all your life on what you can do. You know, this wasn't nothing new to me. You know, I've dealt with this all my life. I even had surgery on my right ankle back in the day to help relieve some of the pain. I never had the left one done. After I got out of my growing years, it subsided some. But, you know, why do I need to deal with this all my life? You know, I would have loved to have went out for football and basketball and stuff like that, but I wasn't physically capable of doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, sometimes I think in these situations that you are given what you can deal with. Because I don't really think a good person is always given great health and a bad person is given bad health because they are good or bad people. I think people are given what they are given for maybe some reason we don't understand. I think about people like Stephen Hawking, who, you know, was in the state he was in all those years, but he was a genius, and because of that, he was able to focus so much of his life on the things that he wanted to. Now, had he been in a different condition, maybe he wouldn't have been able to do that.
You forget that all invalids are supposedly stupid and don't know nothing, don't you?
Well, no, I don't think I've ever said that.
No, but, you know, I've had somebody say that to me, so, you know, when we see people that don't get around or do something like that, we automatically dismiss them as stupid. But, you know, that's the Republican way, I guess, so.
Well, I don't know if it's the Republican way, but I do know that people are given what they can deal with. You know, I even think about that with things like elections last week. For people who don't win, that can be a very traumatic experience. And I think a lot of times they do feel down because they don't win, and maybe even into a depression. But maybe there's a reason for it. Maybe there's some kind of grand reason why being in that position would not have been great for that person.
I hate to see Jason Schauber lose that, you know, bid for the county commissioner.
Well, see, maybe there's a reason for it, though. I mean, he says he's going to retire from politics now. I can't believe that that's true. Now, maybe he won't run for county commissioner again, but I can't see him retiring from politics.
Well, it's just a shame for, you know, any position you can get for politics. Jason Schauber is a good man. You know, he comes, you know, you hear more from him, you know, than any other politician. You know, he's what we need in there. And the man, you know, gets taken out of city council and doesn't make it in the county commissioner. I mean, I don't know what people's looking for, but...
Well, I think it's hard to tell sometimes, but, you know, sometimes... maybe it gets your juices flowing to be more of an advocate for people in your neighborhood or people in the city or county, and maybe that does get you more interested in running for political office. You know, I don't know what's going to happen this fall. I think it's going to be fascinating. I think we're going to find out, is Ohio still a swing state that will go Democrat and Republican, or are we going to stay solidly Republican? I think the fall will tell that.
But, you know, it was always enjoyable, you know, when I was politics years ago, you know, listening to that and stuff, that we was always a swing state. But, you know, in the last several years, that just hasn't been the case.
Well, I think to a certain extent we are still a swing state, and I think that... we might find this out this November, because there are a lot of good candidates running on both sides. So you've really got some good races this year. I don't think people can go around this year and say we have no good candidates. Because if you look at the Secretary of State race or the Treasurer race or the Attorney General race or the Senate race... I don't think these are bad candidates. Now, the governor's race is a little different.
There's a lot of people, it's not career politicians, too. running in these races.
Well, right, but some of them also do have some experience doing something else in politics, so they're not coming in these jobs blind and not knowing how to do anything. So, you know, I think that's a very positive thing. And we'll see what happens in November, but I certainly don't think people can say, well, all these candidates are terrible. I don't think that at all, now that we know what the setup's going to look like.
Well, it's nice to have, you know, candidates. I'm not saying a career politician can't be a good candidate, but, you know, it's nice having some diversity come in instead of just, you know, a bunch of career politicians.
Well, I thought it was interesting that last Tuesday night, almost all of the politicians who ran against people who had no experience absolutely destroyed them by more than 60% of the vote. And a lot of people didn't think that was going to happen. A lot of people thought people were going to vote for these people who had no experience. And that didn't happen at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's very good. Hey, we got to go to break. Stay tuned.
Okay.
All right, we'll be back right after this short but important break on this Monday morning.
Pretty much ended up sounding the same. I'll tell you one quick story. My wife and I were having dinner in a restaurant, and